This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The New York Times once called it probably the most important piece of political theater of the last decade. It's a reference to the Vagina monologues that got its start more than 20 years ago. The production continues to be performed throughout the country with regular updates to reflect the changing times. The performance piece also spawned a nonprofit called V-Day that combats violence against girls and women around the world. This is the second year V-Day performs the Vagina Monologues in Raleigh. Alex Matsuo is the organizer. Welcome, Alex. Good to have you on the program.
Hi, Frank. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you here. Lonnie Prince is the producer of this year's performances. Welcome, Lonnie.
Thanks, Frank. It's actually Lonnie Price.
It is Lonnie Price. That's actually what it says here. And I just
That's fine.
I made you a prince.
I'll take it. Thank you.
Judy McCord, actor in this year's production. Welcome, Judy. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Lonnie, tell us about the, why was the Vagina Monologues so revolutionary, do you think, when Eve Ensler wrote this?
I think we were coming from a very interesting time. In the 80s, there was a big backlash against pro-sex and sexuality in general with the AIDS movement, or the AIDS crisis, right, and the movement against that. So by the time in the mid to late 90s that Eve was doing this, I feel especially in New York, it was probably to kind of swing it back a little bit and remind us that, hey, the vaginas are great and
yeah,
sex is great.
Well, yeah, I mean, just the title. I mean, it was shocking, right?
You're
and
right.
The idea, and that was precisely the idea behind this, Alex, right, was to get us to say, look, we do not have to hide from our sexuality.
Exactly. And the Vagina Monologues also addresses the social stigma against, of the social stigma of rape and sexuality. So the play addresses some really hard topics. And it also, the beginning of the play even opens with the different words we have for the vagina, except for calling it what it actually is.
Is it? I wonder about that, too. When you think about the 1990s, this was revolutionary.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like it was a long time coming. And yet so much has changed since then. I mean, talk about the amount of change we've seen since then, just in these issues.
Oh, it's incredible. I mean, we've made a lot of progress in terms of, you know, women, sexuality, stopping violence against women and whatnot. But at the same time, though, we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, no, it's still relevant today.
Yeah.
In fact, as much or more than ever before. Judy, some of these monologues, of course, present sexual trauma that women experience and that in many ways becomes embodied and that a woman somehow has to bear. And up until then, in silence, right?
Yes, absolutely. One of the monologues that I do is based on the story of a woman who is probably in her 80s and had an unfortunate experience, horrific experience for her, in her teens, and shut down. And she spent her whole life as a spinster, I'm guessing, although that isn't mentioned in the monologue.
I mean, it's interesting because this is a theatrical performance. It is a political statement. But also you have to get up on stage and do this as a woman who, if we're right about the premise, right, that you're in many ways women have been trained not to talk about these in the open. Mm-hmm. What's that like for an actress? I mean, is that a different step that an actor, is it a different process than an actor has to go through for any role that they play?
For me, it was. I, as a 70-year-old woman, have spent my life trying to get over having been raped at the age of 20. And for 50 years, I don't see much progress personally at all. So I'm angry.
Mm.
And that anger comes with me onto the stage. So when I'm doing the part of a woman who's angry, oh my, yes.
Can I ask you to do that part now? You prepared?
No, that one is, there's too much of it that I can't reveal. You can come to the play for sure.
We'll do that and we'll tell.
Tell your listeners, yes, indeed.
You can do that. And of course, we've got all the information at our website, stateofthings.org. But you have prepared a different piece. For
yes.
Us.
This is a piece that is added to the play each year, and it's redone each year. It's called Over It. And I'll just do my piece. I am over the passivity of good men. Where the hell are you? Why aren't you driven to the point of madness and action by the rape and harassment, degradation and humiliation of us? Why aren't you rising in droves, going beyond apologies and confessions, realizing this issue is your issue, not ours? Why don't you see yet, if you were to stand as one fierce band of insistent, consistent loving men speaking to your brothers, calling out your brothers, interrogating yourselves, dismantling patriarchy in every boardroom, audition hall, hotel, hospital, office, farm, school, locker room, this whole thing would change overnight. There are approximately 1 billion women on the planet who've been violated. 1 billion women. Can we rise together? Can we change the paradigm? Can we rebirth the culture? Because we know that when women are free, safe, equal, and allowed to be alive in all their intensity, the whole story will finally change.
It was actor Judy McCord performing in V-Day Raleigh's production of The Vagina Monologues. On stage tonight through February 15th at North Raleigh Arts and Creative Theater. Information about VJ events around the state are available at our website. Also joining me in the studio are producer Lonnie Price and V-Day Raleigh organizer Alex Matsuo. I guess that piece, too, that you just did, Judy, and I'll put this question to you, or maybe I'll put it to Alex as well, suggests that we really want men to hear this, men are not only invited, yes, but encouraged to hear this.
Yes. There's actually been a stigma with Vagina Monologues that it's, you know, no men are welcome, so to speak, but that's actually not the case. We want male allies. I mean, we won't be able to make any progress for change unless we do band together. It's not men versus women. It's let's come together. And for men to come to the Vagina Monologues, that's just another step in that understanding of what it means to be a woman and what it means to have a vagina.
You know, it'd be interesting to think, I mean, a number of men would feel included just because of the title. And that's fascinating to me, mm-hmm. The idea that, oh, no, that's not for me. And yet, you know, men have maybe talk about it in another way. So they have no problem talking about it. But the idea that this is going to be a public performance and we'll talk openly about it, mm-hmm. that becomes a barrier in many ways. Well, so what about the men? This is your second year now.
Yes.
And the first year, were many men in attendance? And what did you find for those who were there?
I would say maybe last year we were about 70% women, 30% men. Mm. This year will be interesting because we haven't gotten a chance to see this audience yet, but we have included men as part of our campaign this year. We actually produced a video based on Eve Ensler's Man Prayer. And we featured local men in the Triangle basically speaking this prayer, this man prayer for women on what they can do to make this world a better place for women.
Lonnie, what about you? Have you noticed men not only participating, but the way the conversation might be changing among men? Do you have access to that?
I think this is the perfect year for men to realize that this isn't just for women and that they should come. You know, there's been a lot of talk of allies with the marches and with Me Too. And with all that talk, I still feel that it's probably not understood by our male allies. And seeing Vagina Monologues, you're going to understand a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more until maybe you will stand and actually actively fight against the things we're talking about.
Alex, obviously Vagina Monologues predated the Me Too movement. Mm-hmm. Is it somewhere in the genealogy of Me Too? Is it parallel with it? And how and where do you see it today in terms of its relationship with that movement?
I would say the Me Too movement and Vagina Monologues are very closely related to each other, and I wouldn't be surprised if Vagina Monologues did set that foundation for the Me Too movement. I mean, it really got going with, you know, with the actresses of Hollywood coming forward and saying, this happened to me, and Me Too. And, I mean, Hollywood is very involved with Vagina Monologues and Eve Ensler. I mean, Rosario Dawson just voiced over a video called My Revolution Begins in This Body for V-Day. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if there was some connection there. And And the beautiful thing about vagina monologues is it reminds women that they are not alone in their journey of womanhood.
This is also one of the things that's fascinated me, the paradox. You know, if we're talking about male roles, men are told to withhold their emotions and not display their emotions, not communicate well. Women are expected to, if these are the cultural expectations of women, to be the communicators. And yet it is the irony here and the paradox is that on precisely the thing that would allow women or men to be free to talk about mm-hmm. these things, that's where the gate comes down for women. And it has been violently enforced.
Yes. I have to agree. What you'll find a common theme in the monologues is the women in the pieces refer to their vagina as down there, or they use a metaphor for like a house or a cellar. There's a strong disconnect where as we go through the play, it's this journey of connecting with our vagina, with our identity. And that's something that's not really brought up a lot, even today in society.
Judy McCord, you talked about your experience earlier in your own life. When did you see the vagina monologues for the first time, and what impact did it have on you?
I saw it probably close to 20 years ago, and my first experience was freedom. Oh, I am not alone. There are other folks who have experienced the same thing I have. And at that point in my life, I was in a very supportive and loving relationship. And that was, I want to say, emphasized. Having seen vagina monologues, I was grateful to have this person in my life. And it was very interesting when, after 20 years, I get to be in it. Cool.
But did it change things for you? It's interesting to think about this sense of freedom and sense of community that you didn't think you had, right? Other people are... Did it change things for you in your life, the way you behaved, the way you looked at things, the way you related to other people?
I believe it did. I never have had a lot of female friends. And having experienced the community that is visible in vagina monologues, it's like, I can now feel okay about talking with and sharing with other women. I don't have to hide my experience, my life, who I am.
Lonnie Price, the script has changed. There have been updates periodically,
yes.
In fact, annually to this. How do you take into account the history of this as you produce a project like this and a production like this? Do you have in the back of your mind a kind of history, or is it, you know, sort of looking at what this year's production is going to be?
You know, in a typical theater situation, that would absolutely be correct. Specifically with V-Day, Eve does all of that. What happens, the monologues themselves change very, very little. She includes a spotlight monologue that's different every year, and that's what Judy just read from. It's called Over It. And that's what's different every year. So she kind of already goes back. And so it's more like opening a gift every year to see what she's giving us to work with. And I love it.
But the times, too, it seems to me, would even change the tone. And
yes.
I mean, you know, the script, much of it remains the same. Mm-hmm. But, of course, as the times change, it would seem to me that recontextualizing that must be really an exciting experience.
It really is. Last year, the spotlight monologue was much more about personal empowerment and owning your body. And what that means, presenting yourself to the world. This year, the spotlight monologue is very much a call to action and a cry for help. So it's definitely different, and it feels powerful every single time.
Alex, I understand that you found the monologues helpful in starting a conversation with your own mother and grandmother about domestic violence.
Yes. I didn't get really involved with vagina monologues until my freshman year of college. I had grown up in a conservative Christian household, so you can imagine how that conversation went when I told my mother I was going to go see the show or be involved. And I was blown away. One of the first pieces I read, because I wanted to know ahead of time, was When I Was 12, My Mother Slapped Me. And that was a piece about getting your first period. And that was something that gave me a wake-up call on my own privilege when I was growing up. But as I got into my 20s and whatnot, I continued to stay involved in V-Day. I had conversations with my mother about how my father treated her when she was pregnant with me. And, even how he had still treated her, you know, throughout the rest of her life. And from that conversation, it opened the door to, you know, this is what my grandmother went through in her first marriage. Her first marriage, she got married when she was about 15 years old in Kentucky, and she had her first child when she was 16. And like I said, the marriage was abusive, and it got to the point where my grandmother hit her husband with a cast iron pan, took the baby, and left. And that was something I didn't even know about.
Yeah, I mean, it's a powerfully dramatic story, and one that she didn't, just wouldn't think of sharing.
Mm-hmm. With, and that's something,
given the rules of the game, right?
Yeah, that's something you don't talk about. Right, and right. And then I think the game changer for me was finding out a specific story of when my father dragged my mother around a parking lot while she was pregnant with me and dragged her by her hair.
And this is, again, a story that you hadn't heard until this came along and became the conversation starter for you.
Yep. Well, my mother didn't want my perception of my father to be tainted.
Yeah. No, and you can, given the rules of the game, you get to understand that. So nobody's going to be critical. There have been critics of the vagina monologues. I mean, a lot of them have said, maybe I'll put this question to you first, Lonnie, but you can all chime in, that this is a very Western-oriented, that this is about, that this could only be done by women of privilege, and that in other parts of the world it doesn't resonate, and maybe not even appropriate. How do you address those critiques?
There's truth in them. To be completely honest and fair, there is truth in them. However, the thing to remember is that when Eve Ensler created these monologues, she had interviewed over 200 women from every walk of life. And so, yes, the stories were combined and performed maybe by white or privileged women, but they came from everywhere. And one of the stories is very specific about a village in a very third world country. And I think we can all connect, whatever it is, I think we can connect on them.
Alex, this year's event benefits domestic abuse survivors. Can you tell us a little bit about who benefits from this performance?
Yes, Interactive Wake County is our beneficiary. They are Wake County's only shelter for victims of domestic violence and sexual assault. And they also have something called the Solace Center for rape victims, which is, to me, one of the most important things that they do alongside helping, you know, women and children who have been affected by domestic violence. When a woman is raped, she has to go to the ER most of the time. And the rape was already traumatic enough, but sitting in an emergency room for 6, 7, 8 hours, and then to have police come and then get a rape kit done. The Solace Center, you go to interact, you're in a private area. It's very calming and relaxing. The police come to you, the exams come to you, and they're done to your own pace, so that after this traumatic experience, the rape victim actually has a safe space.
We should talk to you just very briefly about how V-Day is organized and what it is we're talking about. It's a national organization, right?
Yes, international, actually. Mm-hmm. So V-Day started in 1998. This was about 2 years after the vagina monologues were first performed. And it was because Eve realized that she had created something that, let's just not just focus on this and what's happening around us and sexuality and whatnot. We have the power to influence and spread awareness and consciousness on violence against women. So this nonprofit was started in 1998 by Eve and a group of women in New York City. Their seed money came from a benefit that they did at the Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City. And in one night, it was a one-night performance, and they raised $250,000.
It's kept going, and this is now the essentially the Raleigh chapter, and you are the Raleigh organizer. I want to thank all of you for being on the program. V-Day Raleigh organizer Alex Matsuo, Vagina Monologues producer Lonnie Price, and actor Judy McCord. Thank you all so very much for being
on
the program.
So much.
Thank you so much.
You can see V-Day, getting closer by the minute. V-Day Raleigh's production of the Vagina Monologues on stage tonight through February 15th, North Raleigh Arts and Creative Theater. Other V-Day events are planned around the state, and we've got details at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Austrian composer Marcel Teeburg died in Auschwitz, but his music lives on, and we will hear a performance on the State of Things in just a moment. Stay with us.